Good morning and welcome to Jew in the City Speaks with your host, Allison Josephs, also known as Jew in the City. Purim, thankfully, was good, safe, no bad news specifically, although maybe there's constantly bad news out of Israel, so who really knows? But in general, this has been a really challenging time for the Jewish community over the last few years, and obviously, especially since October 7th. And as the Jewish community is feeling continuously isolated, there is a need to look around for allies. Which groups can we look to that might share our plight, might understand where we're coming from, might stand by us as, you know, violence and hatred for Jews becomes more and more normalized. I've had on people from the Christian community. I've had on, you know, peace-loving Muslims who are working to find, you know, pathways of coexistence with our shared heritage and really familial line. And there's a community that I have heard about as an allied community. And I'm so excited to bring an activist from the Hindu community on today. Surya Naga is a Hindu activist who grew up in California. Is the Hindu community a billion? Is that the correct number of Hindus in the world?
In the world, not in California.
No, I know. I'm just thinking in terms of like allied people, like that's a really nice number. You know, the first time that I went to school with a few Hindus growing up, and they were always very nice girls. We did this booth a few years ago before COVID, or I guess just as COVID was starting, called Meet a Jew in the City, Make a Friend. It was after some of the violence that had happened in New York. There was the Jersey City shooting, the Muncie stabbing, and we did a couple pop-ups and basically invited New Yorkers to come in and meet Orthodox Jews because our community doesn't often mix with other people. And the second time we did this, a Hindu couple came over to us to say, we are strong supporters of Jews and of Israel. And that was sort of like the first time that had been presented to me as a point of solidarity, because back when I went to school with these Hindu girls, you know, we weren't really talking about, we were just in school. We were just, you know, friends, and we weren't talking about kind of like thorny issues. And I've heard since then, you know, since October 7th about the solidarity of the Hindu community. And then I found you on Instagram, and you have just such a brilliant way of describing the story that so many Indigenous people share, and the shared language and the shared experience. So I would just love to, you know, tell our listeners, how did you get started in this type of activism, and kind of how do our different communities sort of intersect in terms of what we're going through?
Yeah, sure. So that's a question I get a lot. Everyone's really curious, like, how does someone turn out like knowing so much about Judaism and Jewish culture? You know, that's not at all part or like, you know, related or linked to it. But really, I think my experience isn't as unique or crazy as it sounds. I think a lot of Hindus and Jews tend to grow up in similar communities. I think both our communities really value education. And I believe even statistically, both Hindus and Jews are like have the highest education rates in the United States and are frequently represented in sort of similar careers and professions. And so I guess also another thing that's true about the Hindu community and also the Jewish community is like we don't convert or proselytize to other people, but we also we remain really strong in our own traditions, but we also love learning and are very curious about the rest of the world. So kind of naturally, because, you know, I come from such a rich tradition in my own background, I was very curious to see like, you know, what's everyone else up to? And so it was interesting to learn about the Jewish people because, you know, my best friend growing up was an Orthodox Jew, which is also why this specific podcast is very a cool opportunity for me, because I feel like I'm really familiar with Orthodox Judaism, maybe more than the average person. And kind of like the specific types of anti-Semitism and like issues that the Orthodox community faces in the United States and elsewhere. And so it was just so cool seeing all the parallels in terms of kind of like, as you were saying, I think the Hindu community is a very strong ally for anybody to have because there's a billion of us, and we're not motivated by anything other than Indigenous solidarity. So there's no like theological basis for us to support Israel or anything. So it's really beautiful in that in of itself, and then also kind of what that's saying, right? And even that support, I think, dispels a lot of like false myths about what Israel is, if such a big group of indigenous, one of the, you know, the last civilizations still standing, which is the Hindu community in the greater Muslim world. I think us and Jews are really the only people who are sort of left. And so yeah, I think what I've been trying to show to people is that this isn't really about try to take it away from like religion and focus more on how for thousands of years this has really been an experience of other people coming to our land. And there's just immense double standards that people aren't paying attention to. And I talk about this more on my page about like specifically the you know, the history of massacres or persecution. But I think the more important thing to focus on is really just the spirit of how for Hindus, like a really, really important thing is, you know, being very connected to our history and reliving it. And I think that's sort of what separates us from other ancient civilizations. And I think Jews also have that in common with us. And so there's so much common ground to build off of. And there's so much power in this relationship that I don't think has been fully tapped into. I think people are naturally already there without it really being something that people have invested in. But I think that if we invest in it, it could go so much further.
So in terms of, Jewish history and colonialism, it began with Romans in 70 CE. And I don't think the sort of the Muslim conquest of Judea was until the 11th century. What's the Hindu history in terms of that conflict? When did Islamic colonialists come to India? And I know that Kashmir is kind of like your, I guess, disputed territory like we have. Is that sort of the main point of contention between the communities? Is that kind of a big point that where we get gaslighted, where we get misunderstood? Am I barking up the
Yeah.
right tree?
So there's a lot of points of contention. I think similar to the Jewish people, the memory of Hindus goes back even long before. Like we were getting invaded by the Greeks, by the Persians, and we know we were never doing the invading because we had a really strict sense of like this is our nation, these are our borders. We're not gonna like if you look at the ancient Jewish stories, like they always talk about, you know, like the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Persians, the Greeks, but the Hindus are always mentioned in like a very positive light because like we really try not to mess with anyone. But yeah, so the in terms of like the Islamic conquest specifically, so over the course of 1,000 years, they ruled over, you know, India. And then in more modern history, in 1947, so this is like a big thing that I think like makes a lot of Hindus actually support Israel, is that Pakistan was formed as a Muslim homeland and ethnically cleansed 7 million Hindus from the land. And of course, in the case of Israel, it's not that Israel purposely ever said Arabs have to leave, but their leaders told them to. But I think just the way the world really focuses on Israel, I'd say like displacing, let's say around 850,000 Arabs, whereas nobody cares about the fact that Pakistan was purposely and intentionally built on 7 million, and also the fact that it's just one of many Muslim countries, right? And so the kind of double standards there, because Hindus had to, in India, which is not a Hindu country, it was a secular democracy, absorbed millions of refugees of all different languages and backgrounds, but the Palestinian refugees were never absorbed. So that's kind of one thing that I highlight. And then in 1971, today is actually the anniversary, 3 million Hindus were murdered by the Pakistani army. And then finally, in Kashmir in 1990, all Hindus were ethnically cleansed from the Kashmir Valley. And the way that this double standard is that India is a secular democracy with what will soon be the largest Muslim population in the world, where everybody has equal rights and the Muslim population is actually growing. Whereas obviously the Hindu population in the surrounding Muslim countries is just like totally gone. But then in the media, I think one other similarity that only Hindus and Jews share that no other indigenous group can relate to is like we have this will to continue surviving. We're not just dying the way that everybody wants us to be. So every time that Hindus want to talk about self-determination, making India a place that protects Hindus, we get villainized in the Western media. Most notably, a recent example is there was a mosque built on top of our holiest temple, and we wanted to rebuild it. And
Sounds familiar?
Al Jazeera and Western media basically were like, oh, like they just destroyed this mosque for fun or something, when that's not really the whole context, you know? So we understand what it's like to be victims of what I call, and what other I think Jewish and Hindu activists call, inversion, where it's like not just double standards, but it's really flipping what's going on. So, yeah.
That's exactly like this blood libel that came out over the weekend. Al-Shifa Hospital was full of Hamas terrorists, and Israel did such a great job killing them, capturing them, that they turned the story around and claimed that Israel was raping Palestinian women. And it apparently created so much havoc within Gaza that Hamas had to fact check Al Jazeera to say, oh no, that didn't really happen. I mean, hello, like we have video, horrific video of Hamas doing this to Israeli women, and this is not a problem within the IDF. The other thing that you were talking about, displaced people, you mentioned 850,000 displaced Arabs or Arabs that left when Israel was founded. There's also the 850,000 Jews that lived in MENA lands that were, displaced and had to run for their lives within that same period of when all those countries were being created in the 1940s. So, where do we move forward? I mean, where do we go from here in terms of, well, I guess I want to in two directions. Number one, are there pathways? I mean, I know I found some, moderate, peace-loving Muslim activists out there that are trying to build those bridges. Have you found the same thing? Is that something that you're working on as well? And then how do we strengthen the ties between the Muslim and Hindu communities?
So that's actually a really interesting question, because one of the things that the Hindu community has really been trying to do is like have, I think we're very unapologetic in the way that we approach these things, but we never, I think one thing that's been really cool, obviously it's not, this isn't always possible because there has been communal violence in India, but it's often not started by us, right? But you know, you do see riots with death tolls in the hundreds, nothing cr that's still tragic, but like nothing too big compared to what you see in surrounding Islamic states. But in the past, I think there were more like communal riots and violence, but in the last decade or so, that's really gone down a lot in India. And what we've focused on instead is one of the big soft power tools we have is Bollywood. So in the Bollywood film industry, we've been making more movies about Hindu persecution and you know what life was like under Muslim rule and what life is like in Kashmir for when they were allowed to still live there. And so that actually has really changed the conversation because we had prominent Muslims, like a Muslim archaeologist, his name was KK Muhammad. When we were rebuilding our temple, you know, we had to go through court cases and prove that we were the indigenous people and that there was a temple underneath the mosque. And the Muslim archaeologist said, like, you know, I feel guilty. Like this is sort of like reparations. Like he's a practicing Muslim and he does five prayers a day, and but he's like, look, like this is just what's correct. Like and so it was really cool to see, I guess, kind of the way we made it more of a conversation about decolonization. And yeah, I mean, there's still a long way to go with that, but yeah, I think that's kind of how, yeah.
I mean, you're saying in terms of similarities, Bollywood and Hollywood. I mean, sort of two other spaces where I think that maybe our communities share some space as well. And I mean, that's work that our organization is doing to try to tell a better story about Jews in Hollywood that doesn't only focus on the Holocaust. And you know what you're saying about Beneath a Mosque is another religious space that was there before. Like, I would love to get this, Muslim historian into some of these places in Israel. Our holiest site in the world has a mosque over it. And I mean, Jews would, of course, never, ever touch that. But yes, just constant gaslighting. So, what about, since our organization, was founded originally with more of this narrow Orthodox mission, I would love to hear. How did you become best friends with an Orthodox Jew? I love that story.
Honestly, it's really interesting the way that I think we both helped each other a lot. Like we met in school, and I think she for Orthodoxy, she has a bit of a non-traditional because she didn't go to a Jewish day school, and like part of her family's Orthodox, so she was kind of like she's kind of like a unique story, but she's still very much in the Orthodox world. So it was just very cool the way that we, I think, both helped each other see the double standards on our campuses and in what was taught in academia. And also just like kind of learn from each other. So I don't know if you know this, but a lot of Israelis, they go to India after
Oh,
their
yeah.
service, and it's always been always been like a place so where there's sort of like the spiritual exchange. And so we kind of started talking a lot about these concepts of like the way that the I guess like the for example like one parallel is you guys have Mashiach and you believe that he'll so we also have the same thing with Kalki who we believe is like the final of avatar or avatar and like that's why when Christians tried to convert Hindus, like they tried to say Jesus was Kalki, but we knew that there were really specific requirements for like what that would look like and that it could not be Jesus. So it's just like another parallel of like how a lot of people have this stereotype of Hinduism in their heads as it's this very like mystical, Eastern, exotic thing, but it's actually extremely rigid and like not in a bad way, but like strict.
Grounded.
Has these specific things that are passed down from generation to generation. It's very like family and land oriented. I think Buddhism is like more like that. It's more out there and mystical, whatever. But I think Judaism often gets this thing where it's seen as like dry and like this really dogmatic Abrahamic religion and like, but where it's actually there is this huge thing of like mysticism and beauty. And Hinduism, I think, gets like overly mysticized. And so I think there's a lot of common ground in the middle of like there's this nice mix of like strictness, but also a lot of like beauty and mysticism. And I think we really connected over unpacking those things. And through learning about each other's traditions, we ended up going deeper in ours, which is always the best thing that you could ask for.
Did you ever hear that there is a theory that like Judaism and Hinduism had some like meeting point and we have like shared stories besides the Mashiach thing?
So actually a woman, I was recently at a Judaica store and this Orthodox woman came up to me and said that she believes that Avraham, like his children who weren't Jewish, got sent to India and there's some, that's why a lot of Jewish kids go to India and then they come back more Jewish and wanting to go to yeshiva and stuff. And she was saying how she believes that there were some gifts there, like meditation, that got left over. I don't know. I know Aish.com published a post where it was like, do Hinduism and Judaism share a common root? There's many similarities, but I don't know if there's, I don't have any proof of
So
that.
we did, no, we did. Rabbi Abram was from our site, just did an article on this, which I'd never heard. So he said, besides Brahma and Abraham sounding very similar, sort of like the, founding fathers, Brahma's wife, Saravati, is that what her name was? All right. So it sounds like Sarah waited 100 years to have a baby, or Sarasafti. And then what else? There were a few more things that he said here. Dashka was killed as an offering to the gods, kind of like Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. We did an article on this. It's very interesting because we do have a tradition that Abraham's sons went to the East. So, I mean, look, if we can have an extra billion allies built in, that's definitely something that could be helpful there. Are there any initiatives that you know of where Jews and Hindus can meet to kind of learn each other's stories and kind of deepen these bonds? Because it seems like, besides the Israelis going after the army, it seems like non-Israelis have a lot of bridge building that they could do here to just better understand our own stories through each other.
So I know that we have to, like, I guess in closing, I guess like a couple of things I can touch on before I talk about initiatives for us to come together is like you said, there's a lot of really interesting parallels with the story and like with how we have a story similar to Moses, of like we have a lot of evil kings in the stories. And we have like even our rituals are similar with like the candle flame. We also like girls also light and do this. So it's definitely quite uncanny. And there's a whole thing to unpack there in terms of just the cultural and spiritual similarities. But in terms of the political and solidarity building, I think that's a really great question. So something really cool to keep in mind is I think it's like when all hope feels really lost for Jews in America. Right now things are really just getting started in terms of the Hindu community, in terms of the Hindu community's relationship with the Jewish community, because the truth is, 10 years ago, when I was growing up, there was like less than a million Hindus in the United States. Today, there's about 5 million. And with that, we've brought institutions because people think that India has always been Hindu, but it's always been ruled by, Muslim, European, different people conquesting it. So we've always been really good about creating these institutions wherever we go. So in 2017, there were only 20 chapters of Hindu Yuva on campuses, which is like a youth, like Hindu youth organization. And now,
Hillel, you're Hillel,
yeah,
basically.
exactly.
Okay, we got language for everything.
In 2022, there was 50, and then now today there's over 150. So we're growing really fast, and I think part of that is like young Hindus are teaching people about like the whole, for example, like the mosque that was built over our temple. Like we are like we just got here, and we're just like, whoa, like what's going on? Like this is there's a lot of I think just in terms of the way that universities and the media is like it's very much a pro-Islamist dominant Islamist narrative, and the indigenous people are not being represented. And luckily Hindus are very success oriented, and we like to be the best at whatever we do. And so I hope that in coming years, like we're just going to be playing a bigger and bigger role in American society and a more prominent role sharing our stories. And with that, this partnership will grow.
And say the name of the Hindu organization on campuses again?
Hindu Yuva.
Hindu Yuva. It seems like Hillel and Hindu Yuva could, maybe start doing events together. I think for me, like really what my hope is, because we do both share now, I just learned this, hope of some sort of peace in the future is just peace and dignity for all people. Like, how do we figure that out? How do we find a way to make room for everyone? And unfortunately, I think colonialism is about expansionism and kind of quashing other people. And you're mentioning now that the Hindus never did anything to the Jews. So for Purim this year, because I couldn't think of what to do that was sort of appropriate in the mood that we're in right now, we dressed up. We only have two kids home now. Two kids are already in Israel. We dressed up as some of the empires that are no longer here, and the Jews still are. So we did Greece and Persia and Egypt and Rome, but we did not dress up as India because India is still here, and India never tried to conquer us. So
It's a
yeah, it's
lesson.
yeah, no, it's really it's an unusual thing in world history to stay in your own lane, essentially, and practice peace. And I'm really excited to just, first of all, know that you exist and that you're doing this work. And I hope that our communities continue to build these bridges. And I mean, I'm glad that there's more Hindus in America, and hopefully more will be coming. And maybe some of our doctoring groups can get together as well, doctors and engineers. So, glad to know that you're also here doing this. And for our listeners, go out and maybe try to find some Hindus in your local community. And I guess it just starts with conversations like this.
I think what I would say to people is in the recent huge Stand With Us Israel rally, like in San Francisco, that all the non-Jewish speakers they brought on were Hindus, and like that was like the only real group that was there in significant numbers. And there has been stuff between Hindu Yuva and Hillel, and so there's been random initiatives here and there, and people definitely see it. But I think, it starts with you. Whoever's listening to this, like, you can be the person that starts the big initiative or big group that does this.
Awesome. And on Instagram, people can find you at Verified Spice Queen. That's where they can find to keep listening and learning. And I really appreciate that you, when I first found one of your videos, you talked about things like, language loss and what was some of the language? Give us some of the language that Indigenous people don't use often enough, just so we can.
Like how we classify these things as like just terrorism or extremism, but unfortunately, obviously terrorism is awful, but like people in the West, I think, shut their brains off because they're like, oh, like we have terrorist attacks here, but it's different, right? Because there it's like they really, you don't understand, like this is colonization, like they are trying to, establish political power. Like it's not just like a random isolated incident the way that it is in Europe and the US. Like obviously still awful here, but you know what I mean. So I just try to use the language that explains the gravity, because I don't think people understand what it's like to live next to someone who wants to colonize you through terrorism,
And that is what Hamas is trying to do in Israel. That's what India is facing as well. And well, thank you for your education and your solidarity. And you should go from strength to strength.
Thank you so much, Allison. All right. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
You too. Thanks for listening. You can catch us same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.